नमो तस्स भगवतो
भगवतो
अरहतो
अरहतो
सम्मा
सम्मा
सम्बुद्धस्स।
सम्बुद्धस्स।
And today is August 24th, 2015.
Bunting, may I ask a grammar question about a previous sentence we had in this sutta? In the very beginning, or towards the very beginning, there's the paragraph etite bhikkhave ubo ante anupagama majjhima patipatta tagata tena abhi sambuddha. Now here are all these adjectives, chakku karani.
Yeah.
I understand that the end, sambhatati, goes with the datives, abhinyana, sambod.
Yeah.
That, but I don't understand, what is abhisambuddha? What part of speech is that?
Abhisambuddha is a past participle. Mm-hmm. Wait, let me just tell them. Those who are online, please go on mute. We're getting a kind of crackling sound coming through. Ah, that's better. Okay, abhisambuddha is a past participle which is used to describe majjhima patipatta. You see, it's feminine singular.
Okay. So chakku karani and jnana karani, those two are not going with sambhatati. They're just...
Yeah, those are functioning like adjectives. They're compounds functioning as adjectives describing patipatta.
And they're feminine singulars as well.
They're feminine singular.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Jishu Fasha?
Yeah.
Jishu is maybe late.
Late, okay. Okay, so we are on page 173. And we finished this introductory part of the sutta. So now we start on the line, Idang Kopana Bhikkhave Dukang Arya Satchang. So you could just recite. Idang Kopana Bhikkhave
Idang Kopana Bhikkhave
Dukang Arya Satchang
Dukang Arya Satchang.
Okay, so Idang is this. And it goes with Dukkang Arya Satchang. So we usually translate it as the noble truth of suffering. But if we just translate according to the Pali, it's this is the suffering, this is the suffering noble truth. Then the Kopana is just like a connective. And of course, Bhikkhave is just vocative. Okay, so then we go, now the Buddha's going to elaborate on the first noble truth. So, jati pi dukkha.
Jati pi dukkha.
Jara pi dukkha.
Jara pi dukkha.
Vyadi pi dukkha.
Vyadi pi dukkha.
Maranam pi dukkhaṃ.
Mararampi dukkham.
Apiyehi sampayogo dukkho.
Apiyehi sampayogo dukkho.
Piyehi vipayogo dukkho.
Piyehi vipayogo dukkho.
Yampichang na labhati.
Yampichang na labhati.
Tampi dukkham.
Tampi dukkham.
Sankitena.
Sankitena.
Panchupadana kanda dukkha.
Panchupadana kanda dukkha.
Okay, so these are the different manifestations of dukkha. So we have jati is birth. And notice dukkha. What kind of ending is that? Feminine, what?
Plural, nominate.
Plural. Does everybody agree? Do you agree?
No.
What do you think?
It's singular.
Yeah. it's feminine singular. So jati is feminine singular. And so dukkha is functioning here like an adjective describing jati. So we say, we usually say birth is suffering, but it's more like birth is painful, except that dukkha here isn't being used in the narrow sense of pain. Maybe you could say unsatisfactory or wretched, I don't know. You come up with your own choices. And notice the P here, jati, P, dukkha. You see, in English, we wouldn't express the first connective, the first conjunct word. But in Pali, the conjunct is used with every word, even the first. So we would say birth is suffering, old age too is suffering. But in Pali, it's like, even at the beginning, you're saying too, birth too is suffering. Jara pi dukkha. So old age too is suffering. You have another
part? This is your translation, but I think.
From?
Well, it's the Bhavana's book, but I think they've taken it from your...
Does it have the Pali?
Yes.
For Vyadi, does it have it as a feminine?
Vyadi?
Yeah. Or it could be Vyadi.
It seems to be Vyadi pi dukkho.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I think it should be Vyadi pi dukkho, because I think Vyadi or Vyadi is a masculine. Somebody has just the pen so I can note that in my book also.
This or this?
Doesn't matter. Yeah, that's what the Burmese style is, to turn the VY into BY. But it doesn't matter, either one is okay. Oh, but this is the sixth. Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, then Dukko.
Oh, so it has it as the masculine, yeah. That's what I thought.
Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. The book is wrong. It should be masculine singular. Okay. Maranam pi dukang. Okay. Yeah, you've already recited, right? Okay, so death too is suffering. And notice here we have dukang because it's agreeing with maranang. So this is what gender?
Neuter.
Right, the neuter. Okay, now the next couple are a little more complicated. Here we have appiyehi sampiyogo dukkho. Now, appiyehi, this is, of course, it's the negation of piyehi. Piya means a dear one, the loved one. And then this is the negation, and what case? Appiehi.
Instrumental.
I think it could be ablative. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ablative and instrumental are declined the same, but I think it's the ablative. So, oh, actually, it could be, I'm sorry, this could be instrumental. But sampayogo is union. Meeting with undear ones, meeting with those who are not dear, is dukkha, suffering. The next one, I think it's ablative, piyehi vipayogo dukkho. So here we have piyehi, from dear ones. Vipayogo means separation. Sampayoga is meeting with, and vipayogo is separation from. So separation from dear ones. So union with undear people or undear things is painful, and separation from dear ones is painful. Then we have yam pichang nalabhati tampi dukang. It's a little bit strange. Okay, yam ichang would mean what is desired. Literally, icha is desire. So yam ichang is which desire nalabhati one does not get. So one does not get what one's desire, or one does not get what one desires. Tam pi dukang, that too is suffering. What's a little strange is that it has the pi twice here, yam pi chang and tam pi dukang. I suspect that the first P in Yam Pichang is just put in for to make it easier to speak. Because if you say Yam Ichang, it doesn't sound as smooth. So you put the P in Yam Pichang, it goes more smoothly. Yam Pichang Nilabhati. So what one desires, not to get what one desires, that too is dukkha, suffering. Then sankitena is originally is instrumental case, but it functions like an adverb. So we would say briefly or in brief. Just like, well, the English expression in brief, you could say it's originally a locative, in brief, but it just functions like an adverb. Brief, the same in meaning as briefly. Okay, so briefly, panchupadana kanda dukkha. So the five clinging aggregates are dukkha, suffering. And notice dukkha at the end is plural because we have pancha kanda, five aggregates. And so they are plural, so dukkha is also plural, masculine plural.
The double K, is that a hidden Sanskrit kind of thing?
The hidden...
Pada, kanda, panu, upapan, padana, kanda, the double K there.
Oh, I see, in kanda. Probably because the Sanskrit is skanda. So it's, and also when you join, actually it's not for that reason, but when you join a short vowel with an aspirated consonant to form a compound, then the aspirated, how to put this, the aspirated consonant is preceded by an unaspirated form of the same consonant class.
Okay.
So in this case, the aspirated consonant is k, but it's being joined to the short a, so the k gives another k, a k. If there are other examples, I'll point it out. Any other questions on this so far? Okay, next. Idang Kopana Bhikkhave. Yeah, you recite.
Idang Kopana Bhikkhave.
Dukkha Samudayam.
Dukkha Samudayam.
Arya Satyang.
Arya Satyang.
So this, O monks, is the, translating very literally, suffering origin, noble truth. So we usually say the noble truth of the origin of suffering. But word for word, we have dukkha, suffering, samudayang, origin, arya satyang, noble truth. Okay, so now comes the explanation. Yayang tanha.
Yayang tanha.
Pono bhavika.
Pono bhavika.
Nandi raga sahagata.
Nandi raga sahagata.
Tatra tatrabi nandini.
Tatra tatrabi nandini.
Seyati dang.
Seyati dang.
Kama tanha.
Kama tanha.
Bhavatanha.
Bhavatanha.
Vibhavatanha.
Vibhavatanha.
So we have yayang. This is combining ya plus ayang. In English we would say this craving. Or maybe it's that which is this craving. So this craving, then the craving is described as pono bhavika. Let me share the screen. Okay, pono bhavika comes from Punabhava. Punabhava means becoming, again becoming, repeated becoming. Okay, so Punabhava is a noun. Now it's creating a adjective off of that noun. So these vowels change. And notice here in Punabhava we have that same phenomena. You see, well actually, you see the Sanskrit is actually Puna plus Bhava. So maybe it's the R that's appearing in the duplicated, in the double consonant. Okay, but when you have the strong vowel, the O, then you don't have a duplicated consonant.
O is a stronger than an A.
O is a strong vowel, yeah. So it just becomes pono bhavika. So this means it's describing tanha, craving. So you can say craving, which is productive of repeated existence, craving that leads to repeated existence. And then the tanha, the craving, is further described as nandi raga sahagata. So nandi means delight. Raga is lust or attachment. And sahagata is literally gone along with. what we would say, associated with or accompanied by. So it's craving, which is accompanied by delight and lust. Then in the next expression, probably you have a gap after the first tetra. It actually should be closed up, so it's a complicated compound. Tatra tatra binandani. So tatra tatra is like, we would say, here and there. In Pali, it's there and there, but each there is a different place. And abhinandani is finding delight, taking delight. So taking delight, or delighting, okay, delighting here and there. And so it's, so the second noble truth is this craving, which is connected with repeated existence, accompanied by delight and lust, seeking delight or finding delight here and there. Then sayati dung. Sayati dung means the Chinese soul way. That is to say, that is, namely, kama tanha. So this is craving for sense pleasures. Bhava tanha, craving for bhava, for individual existence, for continued existence. And vibhava tanha, craving for non-existence. Okay, any questions about this? Okay, so we go on to the next one. Idang kopana bhikkhave.
Idang kopana bhikkhave.
Dukkha nirodhang arya satchang.
Dukkha nirodhang arya satchang.
Okay, so now this, O monks, is the suffering cessation noble truth. Or in ordinary English, we say this is the noble truth of the cessation of suffering. So then comes the explanation. Yo tasa yeva tanhaya.
Yo tasa yeva tanhaya.
Asesa viraga nirodo.
Asesa viraga nirodo.
Chago pati nisago.
Chago pati nisago.
Muti analayo.
Muti analayo.
Okay, so first we have, let's put aside the yo first. Tasa yeva tanhaya. So the tasa goes with tanhaya, of that craving. It's a genitive singular. And the yeva is just emphatic, a little emphatic. Or indicating of that same craving. And then yo goes with the masculine singulars that follow, nirodo, chago. Okay, so the yo is that which is. Then we have asesa viraga nirodo. Asesa means without remainder. Wu jin, I think. Chinese. Well, actually, it's just Jin. Complete. Okay, the complete viraga. Here is not, usually viraga means dispassion, but here I think the sense is fading away, disappearance. And niroda is, of course, stopping, cessation. So that which is the remainderless or complete, fading away and cessation of that same craving. Then chago is giving up or renunciation. So giving it up, giving up that craving. Pati nisago is similar in meaning, giving up, letting go, relinquishment. Then mutti means freedom. Freedom from that craving. And then analayo means like non-attachment. So the noble truth of the cessation of suffering is that which is the remainderless, fading away and stopping of that same craving. It's giving it up, letting it go, freedom from it, and non-attachment. And then we have the fourth noble truth. Idam kopana bhikkhave.
Idam kopana bhikkhave.
Dukkha niroda gamani.
Dukkha niroda gamani.
Patipada arya satyam.
Patipada arya satyam.
Okay, so here we have this, O monks, is the word for word, this is suffering, cessation, leading to path, noble truth. But we usually say this is the noble truth of the path or the way leading to the cessation of suffering.
May I have a question?
Yeah.
What is the gamini, the grammar? Gamini.
Yeah. Gamini is a suffix based on the verb, of course, gam gachati, to go. Oh. So it means going to. And it's here, it's a feminine singular because it's going with patipada. Excuse me?
It's an adjective?
Yeah, it's an adjective describing patipada. Mm-hmm. So it's the path or practice going to the cessation of suffering.
So it couldn't be gama patipada, sort of match the ending, a feminine ending?
Say again?
I don't understand where ini comes from. Gamini.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, why wouldn't it be Gama Patipada?
You want to answer?
I looked at the dictionary again.
Good.
It's kamin in form of kamin. Kamin is a adjective like a leading to, and the feminine form is kamini. That's what it said. Kamin, kamini. They both they are like an adjective meaning leading to.
Yeah. Gama wouldn't have the meaning of leading to. And then there's the word Gama meaning village.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
So it would be Dukkha Nirodha. The village of the cessation of suffering.
That's great. We could travel there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so then the answer to what is the path leading to the cessation of suffering. So then it's, I am Eva Ario Atangigo Mugo.
I am Eva Ario Atangigo Mugo.
Seyatidang.
Seyatidang.
Samaditi.
Samaditi.
Samasankapo.
Samasankapo.
Samavacha.
Samavacha.
Samakamanto.
Samakamanto.
Samajivo.
Samajivo.
Samavayamo.
Samavayamo.
Samasati.
Samasati.
Samasamadhi.
Samasamadhi.
Okay, so I am Eva. The Eva is just emphatic. So it is this, just this, Ario, noble, then Atangigo. In my book it has the wrong N. It should be the N with a dot on the top. But you have the dot on the top?
Yeah.
Oh, you have the printout from?
From something.
But the actual printed book? Has the dot underneath the end?
Yes.
Yeah, it should be the dot on top of the end. So, I explained this last week. Atangiko comes from atta means eight, and anga means branch or factor. So, atanga means eight factors. But when it becomes an adjective, then it becomes atangika. Because it's describing mago, path. So it's this noble eight-factored path. Then sayati dung is, again, that is to say, then we have right view, right thought or intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. Okay, any questions on anything so far? Okay, Suki first, then Venerable Satchinanda.
Can I ask about the meaning a little bit? What about Samasankapo? There are like many words which means like intention or thought.
Yeah.
What is this Sankapa? Why is this one chosen for?
It's a little puzzling because sankappa is sometimes simply equated with vitaka, which means thought. But it seems that when you see the way samasankappa, right thought, and mechasankappa are explained, it seems to deal more with, call this motivation, rather than thinking in the sense of intellectual thinking. So I take it to be motivation.
Would you say it to be synonymous with Chaitanya?
Not quite. Okay. So they seem to be very similar. But I don't know how to express the difference.
And you know, when each eight noble path in daily life we practice, and you can't really practice Chaitanya, we practice Sankappa, more like a little coarser.
Yeah, maybe you could say that Sankappa is like the specific motivation, and then Chaitanya is the volition that accompanies that motivation. I mean, it's pretty subtle to draw the distinction between them.
But then it seems to be that Sankappa is also part of right effort, in a way. It's a more of a acting than a mental volition.
Not necessarily. I mean, Sankappa always goes along with right effort. Sama Sankappa goes with right effort. But even if one just has the intention, the motivation, without doing anything in action, it's still Sama Sankappa. It doesn't mean that one has to express it in bodily or verbal action. Anyway, this is a Pali class. Okay, Venerable Satchinanda, you were going to speak.
Anga, you mentioned that the Atta means eight and Hector means Hector. I mean, the Anga means Hector. And how about the Ika? What is the meaning?
Yeah, the Ika just turns it into an adjective. Because we wouldn't say Atanga Mago, then it means, it's like saying in English, eight factors path, which sounds strange. But in English, we would say eight-factored path or eightfold path. So the eco makes an adjective out of the expression to go with muggo. Got it?
I have one more question about
that. Yeah.
Puno Bhavika, how a Puno and the last one A and then Bhavika, 1B, how drop and then change into O. I didn't understand this one. Longer.
Yeah, this is... It has to do with the process of word formation, because we're taking the noun Punabhava. We're taking Punabhava, which is a noun, okay, to turn this into an adjective, the U gets strengthened. And when the U is strengthened, it turns into an O. Why the A turns into an O also, I can't explain. It would seem to make sense that it should be Punabhavika. But maybe for phonetic reasons, because it sounds better, the A also turned into an O. Or maybe it has to do with, because in Sanskrit it would be Punabhava, so maybe it's when with making an adjective out of the AR that it turns into an O. I'm not sure, actually. But for some reason, the A turns into an O. Okay, so this makes the Pono. And then here, the Ika at the end, this is the same principle as in Atangika. It makes an adjective. So Punabhava is repeated existence, renewed existence. And Pono Bhavika is the adjective, that which is connected with repeated existence. And here it becomes an adjective describing tanha, craving.
We'll have to have a separate polyphilology class.
That's phonology.
Oh, phonology.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, then we go into the next part of the sutta. So this is, we call this the exposition of the Four Noble Truths. Now the Buddha is going to go into what are called the twelve aspects of the Four Noble Truths. That is, each noble truth has three aspects. Let's say call it the three kinds of knowledge connected with each noble truth. One is called Satchanyana, which means the knowledge of the truth. The second is called Kichanyana. Kichanyana means knowledge of, kicha means the task or the function, the job to be done. And then the last one is katha kichanyana. This is the knowledge that the task has been done. So the first one is Satchanyana, the knowledge of the truth. Okay, so let us start. Idang dukang arya sachanti. You recite.
Idang dukang arya sachanti.
Mei bhikkhave.
Mei bhikkhave.
Pube anunusutesu dhammesu.
Pube anunusutesu dhammesu.
Chakkum udapadi.
Jnanang udapadi.
Jnanang udapadi.
Panya udapadi.
Panya
udapadi.
Vija udapadi.
Vija udapadi.
Aloko udapadi.
Aloko udapadi.
Okay, so first we have simply the statement, idang dukang arya sachanti. So this is the noble truth of suffering. Then me is for me. Bhikkhave, O monks. Pube is previously. Then anusutesu dhammesu. Here I think dhammesu, this is locative plural. In regard to, I think, dhammesu teachings or things, then ananusutesu, first it's negation of anusutta. And this is based on the past participle sutta, heard. And then the prefix anu gives the sense of what has been heard through a tradition. It was used particularly in the Buddhist text to describe the knowledge of the Brahmins that they make about the Vedas, that the Vedas have been handed down through tradition, and so they've heard what has been come down through tradition. And so the Vedas are considered by the Brahmins sacred because they've come down through a long tradition. So the Buddha says, ananusutesu dhammesu, in regard to things or principles that have not been heard previously. These are things previously unknown. In other words, the Buddha is not just coming to learn something that has been handed down by a tradition. And so then he says, and then this is locative, plural, locative in the sense in regard to. So in regard to things or teachings that have not previously been heard through a tradition. Chakung udapadi. Chakung means the eye. And udapadi, I think we had this last week, is the aorist for upajati. Upajati equals ud plus pad. And then to form the aorist, we put the short a. The aorist means the past tense. And then it has this aorist ending. So udapadi means arose. So the I arose. Jnanangudapadi, knowledge arose. Panya udapadi, wisdom arose. Vija udapadi. Vija also means knowledge. What is another good word?
Translation is a higher knowledge.
Okay. You can put higher knowledge, clear knowledge. Then aloko is light. So putting it all together, this, O monks, is the noble truth of suffering. For me, in regard to things not previously heard, the eye arose. This is the eye of wisdom. Knowledge arose. Wisdom arose. Clear knowledge arose. Light arose. So this is the Satya Jnana. This is the knowledge of the truth in regard to the first noble truth. Now we come to any questions?
I missed the explanation of through tradition and heard through tradition.
Yeah.
That it's the anus.
The anu sort of implies repetition, what has been heard the hearing of what has been repeated from generation to generation. Usually when they translate, they say, in regard to things not heard before, but that Anu has this, you know, a subtle implication that's not captured by that translation. Okay, shall we go on to the next? Okay, now we come to what's called kichanyana, knowledge of the task. So this is tangko panidang. Dukang arya satyang.
Dukang arya satyang.
Parinyayanti me.
Parinyayanti me.
Bhikkhave.
Bhikkhave.
Pube ananu sute sudhammesu.
Pube ananu sute sudhammesu.
Chakung udapadi.
Chakung udapadi.
Jnanang udapadi.
Panya
udapadi.
Panya udapadi.
Vija udapadi.
Vija udapadi.
Aloko udapadi.
Aloko udapadi.
Okay, so we take tongue. The kopana is just sort of connective. So tongue idang dukang arya satchang. So that noble truth of suffering, then the task is parinyeyang. It is to be understood or fully understood or fully known. And then the T just is like end quotation. So that noble truth of suffering should be fully known, fully understood. Then the same thing. For me, O monks, in regard to things not previously heard by tradition, the eye arose, knowledge arose, wisdom arose, clear knowledge arose, light arose.
Excuse me, Pastor. Thank you.
And then the Buddha has the knowledge that the task has been done. This is kattakicca jnanam. So this goes tangkopanidang. Dukkang arya satyang.
Dukkang arya satyang.
Parinya tanti me bhikkhave.
Parinya tanti me
bhikkhave. Pube ananu sute sudhammesu.
Pube ananu sute sudhammesu.
Chakung udapadi.
Chakung udapadi.
Jnanang udapadi.
Jnanang udapadi.
Panya udapadi.
Panya udapadi.
Vija udapadi.
Vija udapadi.
Aloko udapadi.
Aloko udapadi.
Okay, so here everything is the same except that noble truth of suffering. Here we have parinyatang has been fully understood, has been fully known. Then the rest is the same. So the difference in the second knowledge, we have, this is the optative participle or future passive participle, parinyeyang. So this is the ending. Aya means something that should be done. In this case, should be understood. But in the second one, or the third one, we have parinyatam. This is what part of speech? Parinyata. No, I'm not asking about the case. What grammatical form? Say it again. Past participle. So this is has been understood. So parinyayang should be understood. Parinyatang has been understood. So this is like the difference between karaniyam, what should be done, and katang, what has been done. Shall we go on to one more? Okay, now we take the second noble truth. You see, it looks like a lot of text here on the pages. It's really a lot of repetition. So here we have idam dukkha samudayam arya sacchan.
Idam dukkha samudayam arya sacchan.
Actually, it should be arya sacchanti me.
Arya sacchanti me.
Bhikkhave.
Bhikkhave.
And pube ananusute sudamesu.
Pube ananusute sudamesu.
Etc. Okay, so here we have, this is the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Then the same thing, for me, O monks, in regard to things not previously heard before, the eye arose, knowledge arose, and so on. Then we have number two, tang kopani dung.
Tanko panidam.
Dukkha samudayam arya satyam.
Dukkha samudayam arya satyam.
Pahata banti me.
Pahata banti me.
Bhikkhave.
Bhikkhave.
Pube ananusute sudamesu.
Pube ananusute sudamesu.
Chakung udapadi.
Chakung udapadi.
Etc. Okay, so here we have that noble truth of the origin of suffering. Then the key word is pahatabang. Pahatabang is also future passive participle. It means should be abandoned, should be given up, should be eliminated. And then this is, again, this is the future passive participle. And then we have the third knowledge. Tang kopani dung.
Tang kopani
dung. Yeah, you could recite. Tang kopani dung.
Tang kopani dung.
Dukkha samudayang arya satchang.
Dukkha samudayam arya satyam.
Pahinanti me bhikkhave.
Pahinanti me bhikkhave.
Pube ananusute sudamesu.
Pube ananusute sudamesu.
Chakung udapadi.
Chakung udapadi.
Etc. Okay, so here everything is the same except that noble truth of the origin of suffering, then the key word is pahinang. This is the past participle, meaning has been abandoned. So both words are based on the verb pajahati. So from this we get future passive participle. pahataba, and then we get past participle. Pahina. So pahataba should be abandoned. And then past participle, pahina, has been abandoned. So any question on this? I think we could get all four truths, because really, in each case, only one word is differing. Okay, the third truth, idang dukkha nirodang arya satchanti me.
Idang dukkha nirodang arya satchanti me.
Bhikkhave pube ananusute sudamesu.
Pube ananusute sudamesu.
Chakung udapadi. Etc. So this is the noble truth of the cessation of suffering. Then the rest is all the same. Then the second one, so that is the satchanyana, knowledge of the truth. Then comes kichanyana, knowledge of the task. Tang kopani dang dukkha nirodang arya satchang.
Dukkha nirodang arya satchang.
Sachi ka tabanti me.
Sachi ka tabanti me.
Bhikkhave.
Bhikkhave.
Pube anunu sute sudamesu.
Pube ananu sute sudamesu.
Chakung utapadi, etc. Okay, so that noble truth of the cessation of suffering, now the task, sachi katabang, means should be realized. Ying Chang. So should be realized. And then the next, the third part is the Katta Kicha Jnana, knowledge that the task has been done. So we have Tang Kopani Dung. Dukkha nirodang arya satchang.
Dukkha nirodang arya satchang.
Sachi katan ti me bhikkhave.
Sachi katan ti me bhikkhave.
Pube ananu sute sudamesu.
Pube ananu sute sudamesu.
And then chakung udapadi.
Chakung udapadi.
Etc. Okay, so here we have that noble truth of the cessation of suffering, then the key word sachi katang has been realized. So the future passive participle sachi katabang should be realized. Then the past participle, sachi katang, has been realized. And the word is translated realize, sachi, actually in Sanskrit. It's sakshi. Karoti. means to be a witness. Like a witness in a court is a sakshi, somebody who has witnessed something. And so it's said that somebody in Pali, the sakshi turns into sachi, sachi karoti, to realize. So it's literally, it means to be a witness to something, to testify to something. Okay, so here we have sachi kattang. This is the completion of the task. Okay, then the fourth noble truth, we have idang dukkha nirodha gamini.
Idang dukkha nirodha gamini.
Patipada.
Patipada.
Arya satchantime.
Arya satchantime.
Bhikkhave.
Bhikkhave.
Then the rest the same. So this is the noble truth of the way going to the cessation of suffering. So this is satchanyanam, knowledge of the truth. Then we have idam kopanidam. Yeah, you could repeat. Idam kopanidam.
Idam kopanidam.
Dukkha nirodha gamini.
Dukkha nirodha gamini.
Patipada.
Patipada.
Arya satchang.
Arya satchang.
Bhavetabang.
Bhavetabang.
Time bhikkhave.
Time bhikkhave.
Okay, so here we have that noble truth of the way going to the cessation of suffering. Bhavetabang. Bhav, this is based on bhaveti, the verb bhaveti. Means to cultivate, to develop. Shoshing, right? Shoshing, shoshi. So ying shoshi, ying sho. So. Yeah, so from bhaveti we get future passive participle, bhavetabha, to be developed, to be cultivated. And then the third one, we get tang kopanidang.
Tang kopanidang.
Dukkha nirodha gamini patipada.
Dukkha nirodha gamini patipada.
Arya satchang.
Arya satchang.
Bhavitang ti me.
Bhavitang ti me.
Bhikkhave.
Bhikkhave.
Pube ananusutesu dhammesu.
Pube ananusutesu dhammesu.
Chakkhung utapadi.
Chakkhung utapadi.
Jnanang utapadi.
Jnanang utapadi.
Panya utapadi.
Panya udapadi.
Vija udapadi.
Vija udapadi.
Aloko udapadi.
Aloko udapadi.
Okay, so here the key word is bhavitang, has been developed. So that noble truth of the way going to the cessation of suffering has been developed. And then for me, in regard to things not heard previously, the eye arose, knowledge arose, wisdom arose, clear knowledge arose, light arose. So this is the sort of detailed exposition of the Four Truths. Any questions? You have a question. Go ahead.
The word parinaya, anti-parinaya.
Yeah.
You said it's objective participle.
Yeah.
Why? It's how it's constructed from parijanati, parinaya. Why not future passive participle, just like others?
Yeah, I have the same question.
Why this one is a little different? Parinaya, it's hard to...
Because there are different ways to form the future passive participle. You could have the aya form or the atabha form. So you could also have parinyataba. It would also be legitimate. Parinyataba.
I had a hard time finding this word in the dictionary. Try to make it from like a parijanati.
You would probably be able to find it under parijanati. Or maybe they don't have it under parijanati because parijanati is just pari plus janati. But if you look under janati, then you would see the future passive participle for janati is nyeya, to be known. So parinyeya is to be fully known.
Is it Randy? Or is, because there is a G-E-R in the dictionary. I thought there's a gerund anymore.
G-E-R is the gerund. I think they represent gerundive by G-D-V, maybe. The gerundive and future passive participle are the same.
Okay. So this is not gerund.
No, this is gerundive, or I prefer to call it optative participle.
Okay. How, from janati, how does it become nyaya?
Because the root of janati is nya. So you form the future passive participle by putting the participle ending aya, E-Y. Attaching it directly to the root.
Oh.
Okay, so we have the root is nya.
Oh.
And so we put okay, so we put nya plus aya, and then then you get nyaya, to be known. And then here we just have the prefix, pari, and then the nya doubles. I think they had in this book the aya form. Seven, two. In fact, yeah, on 102, if you look at the top of the page, it has the verb janati, and then it gives different forms of the optative participle. Janitabha, you see, janitabha, nyatabha, and nyeya.
102.
just like pivati, to drink. So you could have either patapa, what is to be drunk, or peya, same meaning. Or from pasati, dattaba, dasaniya, dasaneya, what is to be seen. I think we should take a break for 10 minutes, then come back and finish the sutta.
The day we did this, I guess you said something, and I have the star, and it says, get familiar with these. I think that was your words.
With what?
With this page here, and get familiar with these.
She had a note.
I had a note. I believe that was Bhante's words.
Yeah.
Okay, so we come back at 2:30.